On this December 1st Friday of The Connection, our special guest is Greg Laurie. For 20 years, Greg has spoken before hundreds of thousands of people at Harvest Crusades. He pastors one of America's largest churches, and he hosts a nationwide radio program. But this does not make him immune to suffering and loss, and to see God's grace on a daily basis.
You know, it's heartbreaking to me, and it's been the hardest time of my life, quite honestly. I would be making a huge mistake if I were not to tell people about what's going on, because I suppose what the story is that God intervened in my past, but now in the present, as you know, we've gone through this time of suffering, because I don't know what's harder, losing a child, you know. God has been with us, and so even now we're just looking to the Lord to even bring redemption out of this. Already through it, you know, we've seen many people come to Christ after hearing Christopher's story, and we know he's in heaven, and we know we'll see him again, and we know we'll be reunited with him, but we miss him desperately. But this is a part of the story as well. It's a story of, you know, living in the real world, but it's also the story of a real God who can intervene and change things.
Now, let's go into the studio with Skip Heitzig.
Welcome to the First Friday edition of The Connection, where we're going to hear a special message from a good friend, Greg Laurie. Greg will be giving a touching message about the reality of faith in times of loss. But first, we have Greg on the phone with some background on the film biography of his life called Lost Boy.
Well, Lost Boy is basically my life story. I wrote a book by the same title, that is, it's my autobiography, and now it's in film form. It's a documentary film. We've been working on this for almost 3 years, and the reason it's called Lost Boy is it's based on a photo we use early on in the story, which is a shot of me as a little boy with my mom, who is a dead ringer for Marilyn Monroe, and I just have this sort of disoriented look on my face. My mom was married and divorced 7 times. She was an alcoholic, and I was raised in this crazy home that, you know, of her life, as she was chasing after pretty much everything this world has to offer. You know, my mom was raised in the church. She was blessed with beauty, and she had this desire to go out and sort of push the envelope in every way. And so I went along for the ride. And so it's my story of life with her, the twists and turns where she was, you know, the places she went, the men she married, one who almost killed her, and I was there the night that she was almost murdered. She survived it, and that's in the story. And then it's my own story of my foray into drugs and partying and such, trying to find answers in my own life, and then how I came to faith at the age of 17. And then, you know, how it's a story of how God intervened in a life, because, you know, when you look at the way I was raised, the odds were against me. I could have very easily ended up an alcoholic. I could have very easily ended up, you know, divorced multiple times. But thankfully, by God's intervention, you know, when I became a believer at 17, I turned my back on all those things and have been married for 35 years. And so it's a story of redemption. And, you know, what we've been amazed by is, even though, you know, I'm telling the story that goes back to the 50s, it resonates with people of all ages. And I think it's because everyone finds a character to relate to. The whole purpose of telling your story is to tell his story. It's not about me. It's not, oh, listen to my story, or it's not even poor me. It's, hey, no, check out the great God that intervened in my life and how he can intervene in yours. That's the only reason I've taken the time to put this story together, because it shows how God can take something that is broken and fix it.
Greg, a lot of people are praying for you and your family during this time as God continues to work through your life. This is a very difficult time.
You know, some of the listeners may know that On July 24th of this year, my son was killed in an automobile accident. Christopher, who was 33 years old, and he was very involved in this project. He designed all the graphics for it, a very talented designer, and he was involved in the editing of it and putting the story together and was very excited about how God was using it. But now with this horrible tragedy in our life, you know, I've gone back and we've re-edited it, and, you know, we're bringing that into the story now, and it's certainly not a chapter I would have ever added. You know, it's heartbreaking to me, and it's been the hardest time of my life, quite honestly. I feel I would be making a huge mistake if I were not to tell people what's going on, because I suppose what the story is that God intervened in my past, but now in the present, as, you know, we've gone through this time of suffering, because I don't know what's harder, losing a child, you know. God has been with us, and so even now we're just looking to the Lord to even bring redemption out of this. Already through it, you know, we've seen many people come to Christ after hearing Christopher's story, and we know he's in heaven, and we know we'll see him again, and we know we'll be reunited with him, but we miss him desperately. But this is a part of the story as well. It's a story of, you know, living in the real world with real suffering and real pain. But it's also the story of a real God who can intervene and change things.
And now we want our audience to hear what you had to share after a preview of your Lost Boy documentary. After the message, we'll let our listeners know how to get a copy of the Lost Boy book. But now here's Greg Laurie.
I wish I could tell you that when you become a Christian, you'll never have a tragedy. I wish I could tell you that all your suffering will go away and there won't be pain. But friends, we live in a fallen world. And people get sick. And people die in auto accidents. And Christians get cancer. And we die. This is just the way it is. I don't understand why this happened. It was like time stood still. I couldn't believe this was happening to me. As a pastor who has been helping people over the years, and I've walked through many people who've lost children, I thought that I was as close to something like that as one could possibly be, but now being in these shoes, I have to say I didn't have a clue as to what it would be like. It was horrible. In many ways, it's still very, very difficult. But when I heard the news, I said, Lord, we dedicated him to you as a little boy, and I give him back to you. Effectively now, back to my illustration, I'm the little boy in the toy store, not the dad. And I'm saying to God, you choose, Dad. The Lord chose to take my son home. Why, Greg? I don't know why. Why did that happen? I don't know why. No parent wants to outlive their child, I can tell you that. And if I could trade places with him, or if I could have traded places with him, I would have done it in a heartbeat. But I wasn't given that choice. But God doesn't promise a peace that always gives understanding, but he does promise a peace that passes human understanding. When my son was gone, you see, he left for work, and we didn't know where he was, and they called from the office. I was at home, and they said, where's Christopher? And so I got out my phone, and I texted him, and it was, where are you? Call me. He couldn't call me because he was in heaven. And that is my hope. The Bible says as Christians, we do not sorrow as those that have no hope. We still sorrow and we still mourn. And don't let anyone ever tell you if you've lost a loved one, you can't mourn, because you can and you should. In fact, the depth of our mourning may be greater because we love that much more. The Bible says there is a time for laughing and there's a time to mourn. But at the same time, I'm not as one who has no hope. I know I will see my son again. That's my hope as a follower of Jesus Christ. My son's in heaven, not because he was Greg Laurie's son, but because he was God's son. And Christopher put his faith in Christ. It's a strange thing, really. I prayed with my father to accept Christ. He's in heaven. I prayed with my mom. She's in heaven. And when my son was a little boy, I prayed with him, and he's in heaven. And one day, if we put our faith in Christ, we will be in heaven again. You know, you look at everything a little bit differently when something like this happens to you. And I would like, in just our short time left, to think for a moment about one of the most well-known stories in all of the Bible. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. It's Luke chapter 15. I think most of us know the story by heart. But the reason that I look at this story differently now is it's a story of a father who missed his son. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. The Bible doesn't call it that. You could just as easily call it the parable of the hurt father. Because, as the story goes, of course, there's a father who has two sons. And the youngest says to his dad, I'm reading from Luke 15 now, I want my share of your estate now instead of waiting until you die. So the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. And a few days later, the younger son packed all of his belongings. He took a trip to a distant land and wasted all of his money on wild living. Then his money ran out and a famine swept over the land and he began to starve, and he persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. And then Luke 15:16. The boy became so hungry, even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, and no one gave him anything. In this story that Jesus told, and understand, Christ himself told this story to show us what God is like. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. God. Jesus is effectively saying, let me tell you what God is like. God is like a father who misses his son. Now, this is not the all-inclusive description of God, for in Luke 15, there are three pictures given to us of God, as well as many others in the Bible. But just for the sake of a point, here's a photo of God, a snapshot of God, if you will. God is like a father who misses his son. And you need to know that God longs for fellowship with humanity. He longs for friendship with you. And that father missed his boy when he ran away from home. But because he loved him, he gave him the ability to choose. And God longs for fellowship with each of us. He says in Isaiah 1:18, let's argue this out, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are as stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white and wool as wool. You see, going back to the Garden of Eden, here's Adam, the friend of God, who eats of the forbidden fruit, and he's hiding. And we read that the Lord was calling out, Adam, where are you? Do you think God said that because he wondered where Adam was? Gee, Adam, where did he put himself? I can't find him. Well, God's all-knowing. He knew where Adam was. It's like when I play hide-and-seek with my granddaughter Stella. She's only two. She hides in plain sight. She'll hide behind a curtain when I see her feet. Sometimes the curtain is one of those see-through, and she's standing there, Grandpa, find me. So I pretend I don't see her, and I'll say, Stella, Stella, does anyone know where Stella is? That's her name, named after my grandmother. And she'll go, here I am, Grandpa, and she'll jump out. Then she'll go back to the same hiding place again. She hasn't learned how to be deceptive quite yet. That's what it was like when Adam was hiding from God. God knew where he was. He didn't say, Adam, where are you? Because he was unaware of his whereabouts. He said, where are you? Because he longed for communication with his son. Adam, where are you? Why have you done this? Why have you run from me? And that's the story before us here. The father loved his son, but he released him. And the boy goes out and wasted all of his money on wild living. I bet when he hit town, he was one popular guy. He went to Vegas, and whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? You know, he got his ride pimped and ran around with his posse and had all the bling and all the money and all the girls. But as soon as the money ran out, his friends ran out with it. Reminds you of a story I heard of two guys that went out camping in the forest. And they heard a rustling in the bushes, and running toward them at full speed was a very large bear. One of the friends started to pull on his running shoes, and his buddy said, do you think you can outrun that bear? He said, I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you. That's how a lot of friends are. When times get hard, they run out on you. If you have money, you have a lot of friends. You lose your money. Where did all your friends go? Does that happen to you? That's what happened to this boy. And he hit rock bottom. And he realized how ridiculous this all was. And suddenly it dawned on him, everything that he wanted in life was back home in his father's house. That house he couldn't get away from fast enough now is seen for what it really was all along. A place of security, a place of love, a place of comfort. So he decides he's going to go home again because he came to his senses. He finally wakes up and he smells the coffee. And he's going to go home again. Maybe you've realized that. Maybe some of you have been prodigal sons and daughters. You know, you've been raised in the church. You've heard these things your whole life. And then one day you said, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to go out and live in the world and see what it has to offer. Because there's so many hypocrites in the church. I wish I could tell you that this is a hypocrite-free church. But I know it isn't. Because I'm here. And you're here. We're all flawed people. We all have our moments of hypocrisy. Probably ought to hang a sign around our neck that says, under construction. But listen to me now. Jesus didn't say, follow my people. He said, follow me. Jesus will never be a hypocrite. He'll always be consistent. He'll always be faithful. But people will let you down. You need to just know that. Grow up, okay? But the church isn't a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. So let's cut each other a little slack and not be so quick to say, they're a hypocrite, and ask ourselves the question, am I a hypocrite? Because sometimes we just use that as an excuse to do bad things. So this boy finally came to his senses and he makes his way home. Meanwhile, here's dad sitting on the porch. You can just see it, wondering if his son will ever return, missing his son. Probably weeping for his son. And then in the distance, he sees a familiar figure making his way down the road to the home. Maybe the dad was sitting out on the porch in a rocking chair. Is that my boy? And he stands up and he squints to see. I think it's my boy. And the father begins to make his way toward the son. And then he walks a little bit faster. And soon he breaks into a run, and he's running. Now he's sprinting toward his son. Do you know it was considered undignified in that culture for older men to run? Older men just didn't run. Not to mention it's hard when you're an older man to run. I used to be a pretty good runner when I was in high school, but when I run now, it just hurts. And runners will say to me, Greg, hang in there and wait for the release of the endorphins. It's like a natural high. I have never met an endorphin, any much less endorphins. I'll take an endorphin, singular. If Jesus had not said it, I would not dare to suggest it, but Jesus portrays God as a father willing to lose his dignity who runs to get to a son. And he throws his arms around him. He doesn't stand 10 feet away and say, boy, you stink. Where have you been? Don't forget, his boy had been hanging out with the hogs. But he throws his arms around him. The boy starts his little speech he'd been practicing. Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me as a hired servant. Oh, cut that out. Bring out a ring. Put it on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. Put a robe on him. This my son who is dead is alive again. And he who was lost is found. And so they had a big old party. That's how God feels when we come to our senses and return to him. Maybe you relate to someone in my story. Maybe you're like Charlene. You know, raised in the church, but you've gone out into this world trying to find answers. And all I have to ask you is, have you figured it out yet? Have you gotten sick and tired of being sick and tired yet? Have you discovered that this world promises a lot but delivers nothing? Have you seen the emptiness of it yet? Sadly for my mom, she threw most of her life away chasing after these things. But thankfully today, God in his grace, he forgave her. And she has found what she was always looking for. Joy and happiness and peace in the presence of God. Maybe you would relate to me. You know, you've chased after these things. You haven't really known about God. You've been raised without faith. And maybe this is your first time to be in a church in a long time. In fact, for some of you, this might be your first time to ever even be in a church. This is all new to you. That's how it was for me when I first heard the gospel message of who Jesus was. Maybe you really relate to my father, Oscar. You're educated, you're cultured, you're moral, you're good. But you still need Jesus. Everybody does. He's there for the down and outer, and he's there for the up and outer, because whether you're down and out or up and out, you're still out. But Jesus says, come on in, and I'll forgive you. You say, well, Greg, you've given me something to think about. Maybe down the road I'll get to this. I wouldn't put this off. You know, I think about my son, 33 years old. Who would have ever thought? Such a young man. But the good news is, he was ready. That's why we all want to be ready. And not put these things off, because the Bible says life is like a vapor of smoke that appears for a moment and vanishes away. The Bible describes our life like a story that's already been told. I don't care if you live to be 9 or 90. Life goes by rapidly, and you don't want to miss an opportunity to get right with God. There might be some of you here that have joined us that don't know Jesus in a personal way. And I want you to know you can tonight, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he was born as a little baby in the manger in Bethlehem. Then he lived a perfect life, and at the age of 33, went to a cross and died for the sin of the world and rose again bodily from the dead. And now he stands at the door of every human heart, and he says, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Jesus Christ can come into your life right now and forgive you of every sin you've ever committed and remove your guilt and give you a new start in life. But maybe you've fallen away from the Lord. God says, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal you, says the Lord. He's calling you back home again tonight. And I want to do that for you, because maybe you need God's help. You're a lost boy, you're a lost girl, or you're someone that is strayed and you need to come back. So we're going to close now with a prayer, and I'm going to invite you, if you need to make a commitment or recommitment to Jesus Christ. Because folks, before we know it, we'll be on the other side in eternity. And according to the Bible, there's only two destinations, heaven or hell. God longs for you to be with him in heaven. He poured his judgment on his son, who died in your place so you could be with him in heaven. But if you reject his gracious offer of forgiveness and end up in hell, in that final day, you'll have no one to blame but yourself, quite honestly. As C.S. Lewis once said, the gates of hell are locked from the inside. It's a choice we really make. But God will change your eternal address tonight from hell to heaven if you'll believe in Jesus. And if you're a prodigal, he'll welcome you back just like the father in our story welcomed his son. So if you need to respond to this invitation, do it now. Let's all bow our heads for a prayer, if you would. Father, I pray for everybody in this room, everybody listening to this message, Lord. Help them to understand the words that we've shared are true. Help them to understand that eternity is on the line here. Help them to come to you or come back to you. Whatever their need may be, we pray in Jesus' name.
That's Greg Laurie on the First Friday edition of The Connection, where he recently spoke in Albuquerque. Now, I can tell you the response was immediate and strong. Perhaps you'd like to have Greg's story to share with someone you know who's lost and confused. Let me encourage you to listen to Peter with this Connection offer of the Lost Boy book, The Greg Laurie Story. And we'll add a bonus CD of the complete message that Greg gave here in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, thanks, Skip. You know, Lost Boy is the Greg Laurie story, and it's a book you'll want to read and get one for a friend. We all know people who are lost the way Greg was, and this book can light the way for them to find safety and comfort in the grace and security of Jesus Christ. When you order your book from The Connection, you'll also get a bonus CD of the full teaching you heard today from Greg that tells the rest of the story. This Connection First Friday offer is available right now for a donation of only $20 when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or by logging on to connectionradio.org. You can also write to The Connection at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. But do it quickly for this Lost Boy book and bonus CD from Greg Laurie. That's for a donation of only $20 when you call us at 1-800-922-1888. Or you can log on to connectionradio.org. And thanks for joining us for this special First Friday edition of The Connection. We'll be back Monday picking up on the final messages of Skip Series God's Top 10 right here on The Connection.
Take the time to make the connection.
A presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.